Blog Talk Radio.
Blood.
Healing in the blood.
My name is Apostle Stacy Lunsford, and I would like to welcome you to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We bring you greetings from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. I pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the song that was playing that is entitled War by Charles Jenkins. And the reason I played that song is because we are in a war. As soldiers in the army of the Lord, every day we have a fight. And every day we have a choice to put on the whole armor of God. But I don't want to jump into the whole armor of God, because in verse 10 of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, we are encouraged by the Apostle Paul to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And before I read our foundational scripture tonight, I'm going to open up in prayer, but I wanted to share that much because we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are empowered to fight this warfare that we are in. And the purpose of this teach is to bring awareness to the different methods of warfare, how to prepare, how to be dressed, how we need to think, how we need to walk, how we need to talk. And if we're not being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, guess what? It doesn't matter what you have on. The helmet of salvation, it serves no purpose. The breastplate of righteousness, you'll be all uncovered. Your heart is open. You sharing things with the wrong people, witches and warlocks, stealing your anointing, stealing your destiny. How come you don't have on the breastplate of righteousness? You get too comfortable sometimes. Oh, I don't need to put it on. No, this means war. The devil is actively pursuing us every day, devising devices against us, declaring war against us every day. So we can't afford not to be dressed. We can't afford not to understand the pieces of the armor of God, the purpose of the armor of God. So the strong belt of truth, If you're not being strong in the power of the Lord, guess what? That strong belt of truth serves no purpose. It has no value. Your feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel. I don't care how well you know the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. If you are not being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, guess what? It serves no purpose. You got the word without power. You ain't changing nothing. But if you are a true servant of God, God has endowed you with power. And the word of God tells us in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm you. That's what the word of God says. But dig this. If you're not being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Luke 19 is just a word. And let me make a correction there. It's not just a word. It's the word of God. It's a prophetic declaration. God has given us power. God has given us authority to trample upon. Do you know that trample means to crush? So how many scorpions, how many serpents are you crushing? How effectively are you using the power and the authority that God has given to you? Are you operating in your own strength? Because that's not what the word of God says. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So it doesn't matter how you are carrying the sword, which is the word of God, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. If you are using the sword and operating with the Holy Spirit or attempting to in your flesh, guess what? It's not going to work. It serves no purpose. The word of God is not going to work. When the word of God is working, guess what? The Holy Spirit is working. When you hold that sword right and your strength is in the Lord, the Holy Spirit is going to operate. Things are going to change. Serpents are going to be trampled upon. Scorpions are going to be crushed under your feet as you speak the word of God. But without power, nothing's going to change. At the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, we are in a wonderful season of change. And for those that have been following along with us all during the month of January, spiritual renewal was the topic, renewing our mind. And so we were tearing down strongholds and tearing down negative mindsets, where we have not been operating in the fullness of God's word, nor his power, nor his authority. And it's okay. My people perish for lack of knowledge. But then we have a category of people that have knowledge, but they've been beat up, they've been beat down, their spirit has been killed by negative words being spoken against them, curses, witchcraft, divination, manipulation. It's been so many things that has been hindering God's people. There have been so many attacks that have wearied God's people. Have you ever been in a war and you've been like back-to-back-to-back warfare and you fight in the good fight, but you really don't have enough power to oppose your enemy? And so the enemy backs you up a little bit. Who is the Holy Ghost talking to? I know somebody can relate to what I'm talking about, because we lose some battles sometimes, but we never lose the fight. It's a fixed fight. But you see, when we're not dressed properly, when we are not operating in the power of the Lord in his strength, we will get beat up. So I want to talk about the shield of faith for a moment, because like all of the other pieces of armor, if we are not being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, guess what? That shield of faith, it serves no purpose. It has no value. You can lift it up all day long. But that fiery dart, it's going to hit you. And it may penetrate. You may feel the impact. But God said in his word that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. So I used to say, God, if no weapon formed against me shall prosper, how come I felt that fiery dart at my head? Well, Stacy, did you have the helmet of salvation on? Was your head covered? Were you operating in the flesh? Were you operating in the spirit? Were you being led by my spirit? See, I'm going to present a couple of questions that's going to cause you to think about some things. So going back to the renewing of our mind, we're going to tear down some strongholds tonight. We're going to tear down some lies tonight. And this is part one of the whole armor of God. And as I started studying, I said, Lord, I'm not even into verse 11. I've been stuck in verse 10. And that's okay, because this is a subject that is important to me. And it's a subject that's on God's heart, because we need to be fully equipped. And God has given us everything that we need to do what he's calling us to do in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. So I just gave you an overview of some of the things that we're going to be talking about. But I'm going to ask everyone to join me in prayer and to just empty out your heart, clear your heart. And I want you to think about those areas where you've been troubled in your mind, you've been troubled in your spirit. Think about all of those areas where you have not been strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because we want to surrender those things to God. Some of you, some of us, because I'm not exempt, but some of us, we haven't been strong in some areas because God is showing us those areas that he wants to strengthen us. And then some of us, we've just been weak in those areas because we've been tired. We've been fighting a very fierce battle. But I'm going to pray right now. And after I pray, we're going to go right into the word. And our foundational scripture, again, is going to be Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And we're going to go from verse 10 to verse 18. And I'm going to read it in its entirety. But our foundational scripture, our focus is going to be on Ephesians 6 and 10. And our topic is the whole armor of God. But our subtopic is the Christian soldier. And in case you didn't know it, see, we haven't been taught properly in the body of Christ. And this is not an opportunity to bash or talk about the church either. But when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives as Lord and personal Savior, all of the wonderful things that they say to us, it's all good and dandy. But you know what? Tell me who I am. Tell me that I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. Tell me that my life has changed. Tell me that I'm going to live eternally in heaven with God. But tell me I'm going to face some warfare. And then teach me the word of God so that I can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because without that information, I lost some battles because I wasn't properly dressed. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, my God, my God, my God, we bless your holy name tonight, oh God. We call on your Father. We ask, oh God, that you would hear our cry. Father, we need to hear from you tonight. I have studied your word, God, but I need you to speak through me. I pray right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would forgive us for our sins. I ask, oh God, that you would cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I ask, oh God, that as we surrender those areas of our lives to you where we are weak tonight, strengthen us. Because your word says that when we are weak, you are strong. Father, we repent tonight for lack of understanding. We repent tonight for not understanding that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Yes, we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and we love Jesus. And we thank you for the example that he left us. Jesus was full of power, but Jesus was full of the word. And Father, we ask that you help us tonight to properly apply what we're learning. Your word says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Father, we thank you for your word in John, the 8th chapter. It says that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. So tonight, while we go through this word, I thank you for dismantling the spirit of falsehood, the spirit of deception, oh God. Every area of our lives where we have been believing lies, every area where we have been believing that we are not equipped to fight this warfare, every person that is struggling with low self-esteem, every person that don't feel as though they have been empowered by you to fight with the weapons of their warfare that are not carnal, Father, we tear down those strongholds right now in the name of Jesus. And it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your spirit. It is not my words. It is simply me speaking your words, declaring your word over your people. We tear down, we destroy every vestige of slavery. We tear down, we destroy every demonic altar that has been erected against the minds of your people. Every mind-binding spirit. God, we render it powerless in the name of Jesus. Every assignment against the enemy, Father, we remove every demonic deposit on the ears and on the eyes to prevent your people from hearing the true unadulterated word of God. We burn it by the fire of God. We release the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn away the dross, God. Burn away everything that serves no purpose and has no value. Burn away the spirit of distraction tonight. We loose a fire of the Holy Ghost. We release the blood of Jesus. We release the power in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we release the fire of the Holy Ghost, we destroy every satanic garment that's been trying to substitute the whole armor of God, false armors, God, false helmets, false breastplates, because we've been operating in the spirit of falsehood and under false leadership. God, expose the works of the enemy tonight as we study this word. Speak to us, lead us, guide us, direct us, order our steps in your word. And loose giant war angels all around us, all around this studio, all around every home, all around every phone, in the internet, to the nations, everybody that is listening. I cover them, God, with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you that nothing can penetrate the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus is speaking for us. The blood of Jesus is working for us. And we thank you, God. And we seal this prayer with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, knowing that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. And Father, I bind the spirit of retaliation and backlash in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. if we could just bless the Lord for a moment and just give him some praise, because he is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun, he is worthy to be praised. And I just feel a spirit of praise on me. And I encourage you to just praise God right now. I know that you want to look all pretty sitting on the phone, but if you break out in a radical praise right now, I guarantee you that some walls are going to fall down. God wants to do a new thing in you and through you tonight, but you got to open up your mouth and praise him. God said that he would send ambushments against the enemy as you sing and as you praise him. So open up your mouth and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name, God. We magnify you. We glorify you. We exalt you. And we extol you. Hallelujah. So we are going to start. At Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th verse. Hallelujah, God. I reverence your presence, your spirit, and I honor you, Lord. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Father, we thank you for the reading, hearing, and the application of your word. So verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What does it mean to be strong? In the book of Joshua, after Moses died, God told Joshua several times in the book of Joshua, be strong and of good courage. So why did he tell him to be strong and of good courage? Why was that important to God? And why in this text are we being told to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? God is an amazing God, and he knows all things. His name is El Roi, and that means he is the God that sees all things. And so God saw everything that we was going to go through from the time that we enter our mother's womb to the time that we came out of her womb. You see, God thought about us before our mother even conceived us. And God knew everything that we was going to go through. God has a plan
and God has a purpose for us. And God understood everything that we was going to go through. And God gave each and every one of us power and authority. And he told Joshua to be strong and of good courage, because after Moses died, it was Joshua's job to lead the people over the Jordan River to their inheritance, to receive their inheritance blessings. And God had to encourage him because he was mourning the death of Moses. And tonight, I want to encourage you for any losses that you have suffered, that you have been mourning over. And I extend my condolences, whether it's a loved one, whether it's a situation, or whether you lost a car, a home, a job. We all have lost something, and we have grieved over these losses. And many of us, we are in a wonderful season of separation and division where God is divinely separating us from people. And it doesn't mean that anything went wrong. It simply means that that season for them in our lives is over. The season for us in their lives is over, because there are some things that God wants to do for us, and we need to recognize the cutoffs. You see, Abraham, God had some work for him to do, but Lot kept getting in the way. And some of us, we got a lot in our lives. We have a lot, like a person, like a real nephew, niece, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, coworker. Some of us got a lot in our lives, and it's sucking away our power. We're giving too much power to it. We're giving too much authority, fighting battles that we had no business fighting. Lot was in Abraham's way, and God had to let Abraham know, you need to draw the line. A separation needs to take place. And at the appointed time, Lot chose the direction he wanted to go, and Abraham had the gift of bye-bye, and he said, see you, Lot. But God never told Abraham to take Lot with him anyway. So sometimes we get in the way of the operations of God, and our power won't flow, our authority won't flow, because we got the wrong people attached to us. Now, that wasn't in my notes, and I'm moving away from my notes because I want God to have his way. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So why do we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Well, in the concordance, strong, it says it's the sense of the radical word to be stretched, or to strain, or to draw from. And to like when we stretch, is to reach. And I started thinking about the Apostle Paul in Philippians, and he said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. Do you know that if you don't have the power of God operating in your life, that you can't even press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want to take a look at Acts, the first chapter, for a moment. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to take a look at verse 8, because it's directly connected to our topic. And although we are going to talk about the whole armor of God, my assignment tonight is to lay a foundation that will help us to understand that everything we do, we must be led by the Holy Spirit. In Acts, the first chapter, in verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So I want you to bookmark that. That's Acts, the first chapter, and verse 1. So the next verse that we're going to take a look at is Luke 10 and 19.
In Luke 10 and 19, it says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So you see, power is important to God, and God has shared his power with us. Now, many of us, we have gone through trials and tribulations. We have gone through the fire. Some of us are currently going through the fire, and we have experienced great trials, tribulations, crises, violations, hurts, pains, disappointments, betrayals, church hurt, divorces. We have endured. Some of us have experienced abuse. We've been in abusive relationships. Some of us have been homeless. Like, what have you gone through? Did you think that you went through it just to be going through it? Did you think everybody was just picking on you? No. The devil intended it for evil, but God worked it out for your good. So everything that you have gone through, guess what? God was developing your power. God was developing your authority. But we must learn how to use his power. We must learn how to use his authority. And the word says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." So when I thought about Acts 1 and 8, I thought about dunamis power. And that's the type of power that nothing can oppose. You see, there is nothing that can overcome God's dunamis power. In Luke 10:19, we just read, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So right there, I want you to recognize that even in the warfare that we are in, when you run into that serpent, when you run into that scorpion, and symbolically that means demonic activity, demonic manipulation. It means every trap that the enemy has ever set against you. And sometimes literally serpents come in the form of Python, the spirit of Python, the spirit of the anaconda, the spirit of divination. Because in Acts the 16th chapter, we get a clear lesson on the spirit of divination with the damsel that was putting her mouth on the Apostle Paul, and she was really trying to act like she was with them. And it wasn't until Paul, the Apostle Paul, rebuked the spirit of divination and cast it out of her that she stopped following them. Immediately, the spirit of divination came out. But you see, Apostle Paul knew and he understood Luke 10:19. He also knew and he understood Acts, the first chapter in the 8th verse. And I know some of you might be saying, where is she going? We're supposed to be talking about the whole armor of God. Well, we're going to talk about the whole armor of God. But why would we talk about the whole armor of God when we lack understanding of the power and authority that he has given to us? First of all, he gave us power. Now, let's go back to Acts, the first chapter in the 8th verse for a moment, because it's very important that we understand the context in which God has given us power. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So right here, we clearly see the spirit of evangelism. The work of evangelism. Now, Jesus said greater works that we would do, right? So how many of you have a passion for evangelism? How many teachers do we have on the line? You see, when you are a witness, you're also a teacher. And the word of God tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But you shall receive power. After you receive this power, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And guess what? It's the Holy Ghost that's going to empower you to witness to somebody else. Now, when we witness to somebody else, we share our testimonies. And when we share our testimony, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And it's real important that we understand the word of God, because the word of God is our power. Now, 1 week W-E-E-K, without reading the word of God, will make us W-E-A-K. We'll be weak. We won't be as strengthened. We won't be as strong as we could be had we read that word every single day of the week. So I want to encourage you, even if it's 15, 20, 10 minutes, an hour, I don't care. Make time to read God's word every day, because when you read the word, it strengthens your power. It strengthens your authority. But we do have to learn how to operate with the power and with the authority. Now, when it comes to being witnesses for God, all I have for you is the word tonight. So if you wanted to get your ears tickled, I'm sorry, I don't do that. I just share the word of God. And the word of God says in Isaiah 43 and verse 10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Now, I'm reading this scripture because it's connected with Acts, the first chapter. Why did God give us power? Well, as we go through this series, we're going to learn why God gave us power, why he gave us authority, and why it's important that we wait. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses." Now, that's powerful, because we want to be so quick to go to the whole armor of God, but are we witnessing? And even when we're witnessing, dig this, sometimes we're going to experience warfare. Do you think witnessing the people is just easy, that you're going to tiptoe through the tulips? No. When you make up your mind, when we mind that we are going to serve God and that we are really going to be witnesses for him, guess what? You're going to face a whole nother level of warfare. You are going to face a whole nother level of opposition. And the enemy is going to come up against you. And it's going to test the word of God that's inside of you. So if you're rich, if you're full, if you fat off of the word, guess what? When that test comes, you're going to pass that test. But I also want to let you know that sometimes you could be fat and full on the word, and that test to come, and you might fail that test. And the reason you failed that test is because the word wasn't deep enough. It wasn't rooted and grounded enough deep in our heart. Sometimes we was in the flesh at the time of the test. Sometimes we operated in a spirit of doubt and unbelief, and it's okay. Whatever category you fall in, let's take a look at Peter for a moment. Peter told God, Jesus, he was going to be with him to the end. Jesus said, "You're going to deny me. Three times you're going to deny me." And guess what? Peter denied him. He knew he was fat on the word. He was with Jesus. He had all of Jesus' teachings. But guess what? It was time for his test. But Jesus had already prophesied to him, and he told him what was going to happen. But there's another incident with Peter. And Peter said, "Jesus, if this is you, call me." Jesus called Peter. Peter gets out of the boat. He passed his test. See, everything that we learned in the word of God, a test is going to come, because the word of God in us has to be authenticated. It has to be authenticated. And God also needs to show you who you are. He needs to show us who we are. He needs to show us how to administer his word. Because the power is in his word. And when we speak his word out loud, guess what? We are releasing his power in the atmosphere. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. So let's go back to Peter for a moment. Peter, by faith, and I want to say it took special faith for him to get out of the boat. Jesus calls Peter first. So point number one, when you ask Jesus to do something for you, be prepared to obey Jesus' instructions. Jesus said, "Come." Peter responded in obedience. He got out of the boat, and Peter walked on water. Now, Peter tapped into special faith. Now, we all have faith. Faith is a gift from God. But we all have the opportunity to operate in special faith. And in this season, God is releasing special faith. Some of you, you already have special faith. And that's why these great exploits that God is about to do through you, and I am prophesying right now, all of these great things that God is about to do through you, through your teaching and your training ministries, through evangelism, through missions, through building up the kingdom of God. We got millionaires on this line. What are you about to do with all of this money, all of this wealth that's about to come into your hands? You see, God has empowered you. God has made wealth to locate you. Your destiny helpers are about to locate you. But you must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you must respond to the word of God. This is not the season to lean to the left or lean to the right. So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water, but it was the power of God. It was the demonstration of the Holy Ghost operating through Peter through special faith. Now, the spiritual gifts are recorded in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I just wanted to put a plug in there for that because I like people to know where to go when I say different things. But Peter operated in special faith. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, Peter stayed afloat. He stayed on top of the water. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, Peter began to sink. So why am I saying that? I'm saying that because some of us, we got out of the boat and we walked on water. We took our eyes off Jesus and we began to sink. But we forget that we got back up. How did we get back up? How did Peter get back up? Well, it wasn't by might, nor was it by power. It was by the Spirit of the Lord. I believe that Jesus and Peter walked on the rest of the way to where they was going. So what are you going to do today with the faith that God has placed inside of you? What are you going to do with the power that God has given to you? Now, the reason I shared the story about Peter, because we all fall short of the glory of God. And no pun intended with that. But Peter literally fell short. He began to sink in the water. He made a mistake. He took his eyes off Jesus. So guess what? Many of us, we have made mistakes. We have made bad decisions. We have made bad choices. We have disobeyed God, and we listen to bad advice, evil association, evil influences. And guess what? The purpose of all of those things was to steal your power. The dangers of getting connected with the wrong people, the dangers of being connected in unholy relationships, it's all about the spirit of robbery that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Do you know that the enemy hates you? And he hates you because of the power that's inside of you. He hates you because of the authority that God has given to you. So we all have different levels of power. We all have different levels of authority. And God has allowed the Holy Spirit to operate in us and through us. When the Holy Spirit is operating in us, like right now, because it is the Holy Ghost that is speaking through me as I deliver this message. It's not by might nor by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. And because I know the power and authority that I have, I know that the Word of God is working. I know that the power of God has been released and the angels have already gone forth and they are hearkening to this word. Many of you, scales are falling from your eyes and there's a transition that's taking place. There's transformational healing that is taking place and there are some chains that are breaking. And then all of those mind-binding spirits that had you, your mind wandering and going in all different places, all of that stuff is being broken. Because the enemy assignment over your life is over. But I want to talk about the dunamis power for a moment. In Acts, it says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it says, and ye shall be my witnesses. So are you a witness for God? Do you witness to other people? Do you testify? Every time you testify, guess what? You're being strengthened in your inner man. Whatever it is that God delivered you from, whatever it is that God saved you from, when you share your testimony, not only does it strengthen you more, and I mean every time you share it, but it strengthens those around you, and it empowers you to do even more witnessing for God. So the next reason that we shared, Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's important that we understand that, because we are going to have some encounters with serpents and with scorpions, as I stated earlier. And we need to know how to handle that level of warfare when it comes. You see, God has given us power and God has given us authority to trample upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. So I want to talk about enabling grace for a moment, which is also connected with Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, we can't be strong in the Lord and the power of his might without his enabling grace. Now, many times we abuse God's grace. Many times we neglect God's grace. Many times we take advantage of God's grace, but there is nothing that we can't do, because the word of God tells us in Philippians 4:13, and I want to thank Arthur Gertrude for the bracelet that she gave me, Philippians 4:13, and it says no excuses. And every day I wear this bracelet because I want to be reminded of God's promises. He said that no weapons formed against me shall prosper, and I believe it. But he also said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So when I wear this bracelet, I'm reminded I got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because I don't want to get beat up. I don't know about you, but I got beat up. Sometimes I thought I had it all together, and I didn't. And I got beat up, and I went to God crying. But I didn't stay there long, because I learned what I needed to learn, and I came back out fighting. Now, today, I don't run from no fights. I take off my earrings. I put my Vaseline on my face in the spirit, and come on, let's get it on. I'm not waiting for the devil to come in my territory. I'm going to the territory, and I'm taking back everything that the enemy stole from me. Why? Because God gave me power and authority. Anybody want your stuff back in 2020? Anybody tired of the enemy stealing from you? Well, this is your opportunity to tap into the dunamis power. You see, God's power is an explosive power. The power of God operates with his word. So when we speak God's word, the power that is in God's word is released into our situations. And that is why we need to stop speaking the problem and start speaking the solution. God's power is explosive, and it destroys all kinds of barriers. God's word is explosive. It tears down strongholds. It heals the sick. It'll raise the dead. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So as I continue to study on finally is by way of conclusion. Like, we come into the pinnacle of this message. And I said, God, why did the Apostle Paul say, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Well, I went to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse, and it says, by the word of truth, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. And I paused at the word of God, at the word of truth, by the word of truth. And I want you to just think about that for a moment, because this is also connected with the whole armor of God, and particularly with the feet, because our feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel. But the word of truth here, and I'm about to release a mystery in God's word to you. Many times when we think about the whole armor of God, we always think about the pieces of the armor. There is more to this. On New Year's Day in January, I shared on the whole armor of God at a conference that Arthur Gertrude had entitled More Than Conquerors. And I continued to study and I continued to read. And I said, God, this information is so good, and your people need to know why they need to be strong and of good courage, and they need to know why they have to be strong in you and tap into your power. And the answer is found in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, by the word of truth. So the word of truth here is talking about the gospel. Now, we know that the gospel is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we learn about Jesus' life. But to those of you that are following along with your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Matthew 4, and we're going to look at verse 24. And we are coming close to the end of the message. And at that time, I will be opening up the lines. But for those of you that are listening and you have a comment, you have a question, you have a prayer request, you can press 1 on your phone and I will get you on the mic. But we want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Now, we're going to take a look at Matthew verse 4 and 23. This is directly connected with everything that we have gone over so far, and especially with Acts, the first chapter, and dunamis power. So Matthew 4, 23, the word of God says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with the devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." So now I want to take a look again for one moment. Let's go back to Luke 10:19. I like to repeat the scriptures over because everything is divinely connected. I'm not just sharing scriptures to be sharing, but everything serves a purpose. You have different levels of power inside of you. You have different levels of authority inside of you. So God said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So earlier I mentioned God's enabling grace. Well, God's enabling grace allow us to trample upon the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How does that relate to what we just read in Matthew 4:23? Jesus did all of these things. Jesus operated in the power of God. Jesus, listen, he healed the sick. He cast out devils. Didn't Jesus say that greater works that we would do? But in case you don't understand the context in which we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, dig this. We're going to take a look at all of the things that happened in Matthew 4:23 to verse 25. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching. You want to teach for God? You've been called by God? You going to say that God called you to preach? God called you to teach? Guess what? Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Don't ever think you could get, and I don't care where your pulpit is. You could be in the church. You could be out of the church. You could be a church without walls. You could have street ministry. You could have nursing home ministry. I don't care where your ministry is at. But if you say that God called you to preach and that God called you to teach, listen, teach and preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. Finally, my brethren, finally, my sister, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We are to follow Jesus' example. So when it comes down to the whole armor of God, and the reason that God took me into this direction is he wants us to understand that the word of truth, which is symbolic to the gospel of God, which is symbolic to the word of God. Earlier I said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, that simply means that not only are you studying to show yourself approved to God, but God is going to entrust a ministry to you the gift that you have, the enabling grace that is upon your life. And my God, some of you, the grace is just enormous. Some of you, you have no idea what Father is about to do in you. But I'm telling you right now that your baby is shifting into the birth canal. You see, it is the word of God. You can have the pieces of the armor of God all day long. But if you don't have the word of God, if you don't have the word of truth, who are you going to preach to? Who are you going to teach to? You see, Jesus went abroad, Jesus went about all Galilee. This is prophetic. In Acts, the first chapter, in verse 1, it says, you shall receive power. After this, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Do you see it? You know, all week long, I've been seeing, do you see what I see? And I see the power of God speaking. I see the word of truth being revealed, coming alive right before our very eyes. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Jesus received power. The Holy Ghost came upon him when John the Baptist baptized him. Jesus was teaching. Jesus was preaching. Jesus was witnessing. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus was healing all manners of sickness. And Jesus, he healed all manners of disease among the people. So now we want to get into the power of his might. Who is the Holy Ghost empowering tonight? Now, all of these things that Jesus did, Jesus said, we're going to do these things. Jesus said, greater works we will do. And I want to let you know right now, some of us, the fire has been high. Some of us, the fire has been medium. Some, the fire has been low. And that's because God has different assignments for us. Some of us, and it doesn't matter the nature or the size. What matters is that God counted us worthy to be used by him. And it's not by might nor by power, but it is by his spirit. It is God's enabling grace that empowers us to do what we do when we tap into the power, when we tap into his word. And the whole armor of God helps us, yes, but we need to know about the power. The power is in his word. So Jesus, it says, and his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people. Do you know that God is waiting for you to get proper understanding of Ephesians 6 and 10 so that he could send some sick people in your direction so you can heal them, so that you can lay hands on them, so that they can recover? Do you know what the word of God says in Isaiah 61? The spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And in the Living Bible, I'm going to read that. It says, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That means that the power of God is upon you. That means that the enabling grace of God is upon you, because the Lord has anointed you. God has appointed you. God chose this night for you to be on this line so that you can be empowered, so that you can be edified, so that you could be encouraged, and that every lie that the enemy ever spoke to you about what God spoke to you, that it could just fall off your back. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of the Lord God is upon you, because the Lord has anointed you to bring good news to the suffering and the afflicted. He has sent you to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to the captives, and to open the prison, and to open the eyes of the blind. He sent you to tell those that mourn that the time of God's favor for them to come has come. And that this is the day of wrath to our enemies. And to all that mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. For God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. And I love verse 4. It says, and they shall rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities long ago destroyed, reviving them, though they have lain there in many generations. So tonight, God is just giving you a deeper understanding of who you are, what he has called you to do for him, and the level of power that you need to tap into. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So I just have a few points that I want to share with you, and then we're going to open up the lines. And I hope you're being blessed by this message. God is good. I feel the anointing upon me, and I just thank you, God. So one thing is important to understand. As you obey God, as you are empowered and you begin operating in the power of the Holy Ghost, and what I mean is you're going to be spirit-led, you're going to be spirit-governed, and you're going to obey God. As you obey God, God's enabling grace is going to work through you in such a way that this world is about to see something they never saw before. Who is the Holy Ghost talking to? Prophet Martin, I know you know what I'm talking about. I know that you're ready. I know that you're equipped. I know that you're waiting for God to say, daughter, this is where I want you to go. Doors are opening before you right now because you've been obedient. But how many of us know that Jesus was famous? Jesus had quite a following. So fame is going to accompany you when you operate in the spirit of power. But don't you dare get it twisted. And don't you dare steal God's glory. Let me tell you something. I want to talk about Jesus' fame for a moment when he was at the mount, when he fed the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. Guess what? When Jesus left to go to the other side, many people went with him, but they didn't go because they wanted to learn more about Jesus. They didn't go because of his teaching ability and his ability to elaborate on the word of God. They followed him because they wanted more bread. They wanted more fish. They wanted more food to eat. So don't get caught up with all of the people that's going to be following you. Don't get caught up. Some of them are going to be sincere. Some of them are going to help you. But don't allow the fame to go to your head. Beware of the spirit of pride, because the power of God inside of you can't operate when you're operating in the spirit of pride. Pride is going to steal God's glory. Pride is going to get you kicked out of heaven, just like it got Satan, Lucifer, kicked out of heaven. So beware of fame. But when God glorifies your name through the testimony of your story, your anointed story, because what God did for you, I don't know, but he's going to use it for his glory, your anointed story for his glory. Now, Jesus was a burden bearer. He lifted burdens from his people, and God is going to use us. God is going to use us to bring people to Jesus. Jesus went through some things. Jesus suffered. He was wounded for our transgressions. Anybody been wounded? Anybody been persecuted? Anybody going through some things? Jesus suffered, and we must learn how to embrace the suffering. You see, it is through the and embracing the suffering that we learn how to trust God. And it's not until we embrace the suffering that we really come into full submission of God's will and plans for our lives. And it's a painful process. Some of us, it's a lonely process because it's been rejection, it's been isolation, it's been a lonely walk, and you didn't know why things happened the way they did. Well, God is about to make sense of all of it, but it's all connected to the power. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So Jesus, he healed the sick. Jesus cast out demons. He cast out devils. Jesus performed miracles. He healed people that had the palsy. You see, it was Christ's power in operation. So what does all of this have to do as I wrap up with this message? The enemy don't have no power over you. The enemy don't have no power over me. When we're walking in obedience to God's word, let me tell you something. God's power is explosive. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now that we have a good understanding of why we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, now we can transition into the next verse in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. As we go to verse 11, but that will be for part two. For right now, I want to say thank you, God, for this message. Thank you for all that you have shared. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We thank you for opening the floodgates of heaven. We decree an open heaven over us right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for this word, God. We thank you that it fell on good soil. We thank you, God, for those that are going to seek your faith, those that are going to study the scriptures that were shared, and those that are going to prophetically pray this word out. And God, I thank you for Luke, the 10th chapter and the 19th verse, and your enabling grace. Speak to your people about the enabling grace, God. Show them how you have given them spiritual victory over evil spirits. Because in Luke 10:19, you said, I have given you power over all the powers of the enemy. And that's why I said that the enemy don't have no power over us. God, you said that the enemy has no power over us. You have given us power over all the power of the enemy. So that means there's no witchcraft, there's no voodoo, there's no juju, there's no curses, there's no witches, there's no warlocks. You have given us power over them. And we initiate our power, God. We activate our power. We tap into our power, the power that you have given unto us, the power that you said we should wait upon. Because after we receive power, we shall, after that, the Holy Ghost will come upon us. So we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the context in which you have instructed us tonight to be strong and of good courage. Father, we thank you for a demonstration of your power with David and Goliath. There's no reasonable explanation that Goliath was defeated by this teenage boy with a stone and a slingshot. But it was your power. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's what your word said. And God, David operated in your power and in your authority. He was a young boy, but he understood your word. He had proper understanding of Luke 10:19. He had proper understanding of the whole armor of God. And I know that the slingshot and the rock wasn't written in your word, but God, it was a weapon that you chose to use to demonstrate your power, to demonstrate your glory. And the giant named Goliath fell down, God. When that stone hit him in the head, he fell, and David won the victory. But he didn't, like, the victory, a major deliverance came when David ran over to Goliath and took the sword out of his sheath, and he cut off Goliath's head. And that meant flawless victory, a major deliverance. God, we want to cut off Goliath's head tonight. We want to cut off everything, Father, every power, every principality, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So continue to teach us, continue to empower us, continue to minister to us about us, and help us to engage in your word like never before. We seal this prayer with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So the lines are open. Anybody want to share tonight? Anybody have a question or a comment? You are more than welcome to share. I pray that you were blessed. I pray that you was encouraged by this message. The whole armor of God, part one, and I will return on the first Sunday in March to do part two of the whole armor of God. Next Sunday, we have Minister Taisha that will bring forth the word. And on third Sunday, we have Prophet Martin. On second Sunday, we have Prophet Martin. And on third Sunday, Minister Taisha. And on fourth Sunday, Apostle Wilder will be sharing the word. And we thank you all for supporting us. We thank you for your time tonight. And we really pray that you were blessed by this message. And I want to take this opportunity. We always pray for truck drivers. And Walter, thank you for joining me tonight. And for those of you that are listening, we're going to take this opportunity to pray for our truck drivers all over this world. And Walter, do you have anything in addition, or any truck drivers in particularly that you would like for us to lift up tonight?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello? Oh, okay. No, just what we do. We do for our families. We do because it's our job. It's one of the top, considered one of the top 10 most dangerous jobs that you can have. So we just pray that we go home. We come out and we go home to our families. And just like what happened to Kobe Bryant and his daughter, coming back home is underrated, and it's not anything that's a given. So just pray for us for safe travels and that we get back home to our families. And everybody
Amen.
Who comes in and ministers, everybody who comes in and ministers to all truck drivers, thank you very much.
Okay, we certainly will. And do you have any comments about the message tonight? Does the message bless you?
No, all your messages are good. All your messages hit home. So it's nothing, anything special. They're all good. They all have their meaning. And just you take the time to even do that for people. So I hope everybody else appreciates it as much as I do. It's not just a family thing. So we need that.
Amen.
We all need that type of.
Amen. Well, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and His power of His might. So thank you for sharing, and we're going to go ahead and go into prayer right now, truck drivers. And for those of you that have joined us for the first time tonight, this is my cousin Walter, and he is a truck driver. And truck drivers all over the world, they risk their lives on a day-to-day basis. In the past couple of weeks, he's been sharing car wrecks where bad accidents with truck drivers. And sometimes, I mean, it's just unbearable, the losses. And we just want to take this opportunity to pray for truck drivers all over the world. And if you have a loved one or a friend that drive a truck and you want to submit their name for prayer, you're more than welcome to. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we honor you tonight. We thank you for Walter, and we lift him up to you as he stands in proxy tonight for truck drivers all over the world. Father, we cover them with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Father, we thank you for going before them and making the crooked places straight. And we pray, God, that they will understand you and your assignment for them while they're on the highway. Father, we pray that you would release giant war angels around them to lead them, to guide them safely on the highway and the byways. Bless them as they pick up their deliveries. Thank you for guiding them safely to and fro. Bless wherever they stay at the truck stops to get rest, to get food. Bless their food. Remove all impurities. Protect them. Watch over them. Touch their family members, oh God. Touch the family members that miss their husbands, that miss their wives, the children that miss their dad and their mom. Father, continue to move by your Spirit and bring them closer to you and closer to each other. And Walter asks that we just say a special prayer for those that minister to the truck drivers. And we thank you for all of the chaplains. We thank you for all of the truck stops that have churches in the trailers where the truck drivers can come. They can be ministered to. They can receive prayer. They can receive counseling. And we pray for those that are laboring at these truck stops. We pray, oh God, that you would bless them. We pray, oh God, that you would release a now word, a rhema word, God. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen them. We pray, oh God, that you would release revelation knowledge. We pray, oh God, that you would activate your word in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. We pray, oh God, that they will be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. Father, we cancel every assignment of the enemy against your truck driver and against those that minister to your truck drivers. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we decree your word that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And we cancel every assignment of the enemy, oh God. Father, we speak life to every truck driver. We bind the spirit of depression and oppression as we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would break in pieces the oppressor. God, we ask that you would touch the truck drivers that are struggling, oh God, those that are dealing with loss, those that are struggling financially, those, God, that need you to step in and make a way out of no way. Because many of them, their backs are against the wall, and it looks as if it is over, God. But we know that you have made a way, and right now, God, you're telling me to come against the spirit of suicide. God, we bind the spirit of death in the name of Jesus, and we loose resurrection life, God. We loose resurrection power. We bind the spirit of suicide, suicidal thoughts, God, in the name of Jesus. Every truck driver that's thinking about, Father God, taking his own life, we bind those thoughts. We thank you, God, for going to the very source, the very root of that assignment of the enemy, and we cancel it. As we bind the spirit of death, we lose resurrection life and resurrection power. And Father, we bind the spirit of assassination, every assignment of the enemy, every mercenary that's been sent against the truck drivers to cause them to have an accident, God. Rakasata. We cancel all accidents. We release the power and the blood of Jesus over their vehicles, over their trucks, over their engines, over their brakes, over their tires, God. Rakasata Rabashi. Oh God, hide them under the shadow of your wings. Oh God, you said in your word that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are the truck driver's refuge, oh God. You are their strong tower, oh God. And you, oh God, they put their trust. Some of them need to trust you a little more, God. Some of them are discouraged because they've been hurt. They've been wounded. They've been disappointed. But we lose the spirit of encouragement right now. And we exchange, God. As we bind the spirit of heaviness, we loose the garment of praise. We loose the spirit of joy. Father, your word says they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So we thank you that your joy has been released over your truck drivers. And we thank you for your peace that is falling even now, God. I thank you for the peace that I feel in my spirit. Something broke, God. And we celebrate you for what you have done. We thank you that the enemy lost tonight, God. The spirit of confusion has been canceled, has been dismantled. And every truck driver that's had a strong desire to just, excuse me, think negative thoughts, and they had a wandering mind, it is done. It is under the blood of Jesus. We cast out the spirit of confusion, and we loose a sound mind. Father, you have not given your truck drivers a spirit of fear, but you gave them a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And I decree your word in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. And I decree that the truck drivers will keep their mind stayed on you so that you can keep them in perfect peace. And I pray for the cars around them, God. Father, they must share the road. The truck drivers in the vehicles, not just the tractor trailers, but the box trucks. There's different trucks. There's vans. But, Father, all of the cars, all of the vehicles on the highways and the byways, we cover them all with the blood of Jesus. And, God, we say a special prayer for those that have lost loved ones in car accidents. And, Father, we take this opportunity to lift Kobe Bryant and his family up, God. We pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for their mourning process, the grieving process, God. Be with them and help them through this process. Let it be a positive process, God, where they will invite you and they will not lean to their understanding, oh God. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. You are the God of comfort, and we ask that you will comfort them, God. Comfort his wife like only you can. She has to raise these daughters not alone, God, because we know the family is going to be with her and with them, but God, she's missing her best friend and her husband and her daughter. So we thank you for your enabling grace, God. We thank you that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your Spirit that the Kobe family is going to overcome, that the Kobe Bryant, that his family, God, is going to get through this difficult time. And we use their family, God, to lift up all families that have lost loved ones, everyone that is dealing with death, God, everyone that is mourning the loss of a loved one, everyone that is dealing with the grieving process. Father, within the grieving process, there are different feelings, there are different emotions. Some people are in denial. Some people are angry. Some people are depressed. Some people don't know how to respond, God. Some people are in shock and they haven't cried yet. They haven't showed any kind of emotions. And some others don't understand why they're not showing or reacting. But God, everybody grieves differently. And we're simply asking that you be a part of the process. Father, somebody is grieving the loss of a daughter, of a son, of a husband, of a wife. Somebody is at the nursing home. Somebody is at a hospice, God, and the doctors have done all that they can do. We pray for these family members, and we pray for the patients, God. We pray for understanding. We thank you for those that are in transition, and they're ready to go, but the families are not quite ready. Father, it takes a certain level of power and authority to get through these processes. And even with the word of God that was shared tonight, your word is packed with power, God. And your word, it is full of comfort for those that have lost loved ones. So we just pray the prayer of comfort, and we seal this prayer, God, as we release the power of the blood of Jesus over Kobe Bryant's family and over all families that have lost loved ones, and those that are grieving the loss of loved ones that have gone home. And it's been a while, God. Father, the other day I was grieving over my best friend, and I just miss her a lot. But it took a while for me to come to a place of acceptance. But I thank you for strengthening me in that area, because I really do miss her. But I thank you for the time that I had with her, God. And I lift her family up to you. And I thank you for being with them, for strengthening them, and for comforting them. So we seal all of these prayers with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. And we give you all the honor, we give you all the glory, and we give you all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Walter. Go in peace. So, do we have any other prayer requests? Anyone have a comment or a question? Because we're coming to the end of the broadcast. And I want to say thank you to everyone that joined me tonight. Thank you for those that are listening via the internet. And I want to give an overview of the scriptures that were shared. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse 10 through 17. Acts, the first chapter, verse 8. Luke, chapter 10, verse 19. And I did share Isaiah 43, verse 10, that says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me." So God has empowered us to be his witnesses, and God has given us power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And my name is Stacy Lunsford, and you're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to fellowshipping with you again, and everyone have a blessed night. God bless you.